This week, we're coming to our next part of the Nehemiah series, and we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 7 today, and the reading just comes from the first six verses, because really the rest of the chapter is a genealogical record of those who made up the community in Judah at the time. So at this point that we're joining the book of Nehemiah again, the walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt and the gates have been set in place, and Nehemiah is therefore able to lock up the city at night and open it in the morning, and he ensures that there are guards placed to defend the city. But inside the walls, the houses have still not been built, and so although there is a lot of space within the walls, there are not many people, and Nehemiah takes this opportunity to register the people within the city. We find that there are lots of different people that are recognised by Nehemiah during this registration process. So we find musicians, gatekeepers, temple servants and priests, and we find the exiles, both those who are returning and those who are newcomers. There is an almost identical record to what we find in Nehemiah chapter 7 in Ezra chapter 2. So we know that both Ezra and Nehemiah recognised the importance of each person who made up their community, and they wanted to give God glory for bringing them home. So we've been linking the series in with our return to church life. After the pandemic that we've been through for a while, we were locked away from this church sanctuary that we meet in on a Sunday morning, and so we couldn't meet here anymore. And then in recent months, particularly back in May this year, we were able to come together on Pentecost Sunday to restart our services. And so we've now been having services again for almost 6 months. But I thought it would be good today, as we looked at these different types of people that Nehemiah mentions as being part of the community, to take time just to thank God and to remember to give thanks for each other as a church community. In Nehemiah 7, verses 39 to 46, we find four groups mentioned there. And I'm going to talk about the various groups of people that are mentioned in this chapter, and they will form the points for this morning's sermon. The first point, however, has five different groups, so I'll just let you know what they are. So in point number one, we'll be thinking about the musicians, the gatekeepers, the temple servants, and the priests. And then in point number two, the exiles who have returned and those who have not returned to the land. And then three, the newcomers who would never have seen Jerusalem before. So we've got in point one, the musicians, gatekeepers, temple servants and priests. Then we have the exiles who are returning and the exiles who have not returned. And then we have three, the newcomers, those who have not seen Jerusalem before. So in point one then, musicians, gatekeepers, temple servants and priests. Nehemiah records these four groups in those verses 39 to 46. And some questions that we might want to ask ourselves at this point is, I wonder who these people might be in our church community today. I wonder how we might honour them. And I wonder how they have adapted in this season of transition. Let's think about the musicians. We were unable to meet in the building, but we still needed to find a way of bringing our sung worship to God. It's such a central part of what it means to gather together as a church, something that we've done throughout the ages, and is very important to help us to connect to God, particularly corporately. Thankfully, we did have musicians within the church who were able to use technical skill to put some videos together, where they were able to play songs together, which we could then upload as part of the services that happened on the website. It's good to remember the skills of the musicians that we have in this church and to give thanks for all they bring in their worship and music. Then we have the gatekeepers. We think of them perhaps as the welcomers at the door. I know that there is a number of you who usually welcome on the door, part of the welcome team, who have continued to have incredible conversations with people during the pandemic period. And it's good to be thankful that in our church we do have people of different personalities, people who are able to perform different tasks. Some of us might be more comfortable doing the stuff behind the scenes. Some of us might really enjoy talking to lots of different people. Now, we all have to do both of these things at times, but we can thank God that there is a variety within the church which allows us to really just excel in the areas where we have passion and skill. Then there's the temple servants. We might think of the deacons who have had to look at lots of different policies over the last years and months, particularly cleaning policies and how to keep the building clean. As we're still in this time where COVID is a presence, and we need to think about, you know, how we're keeping the building clean, many of those things are still very important to us now. We have priests. Well, I suppose that may well mean me. But, you know, we had to try and adapt, didn't we, to do communion in a different way. And it was very strange. It was somewhat controversial, I think, among churches, deciding how you would continue to do communion, if at all, during a pandemic period. And I never thought that I would be using a video online to do communion to. But sometimes, if we want to continue to use the memory of that meal to remember what Christ has done for us, which is the same whether we're in the pandemic period or not, then we need to find a way to do that. We need to remain adaptable. We can give thanks for each other, for all that each person gives to this church. So point two then, the exiles. There would have been some people who were lost during the time of exile. We might think of those whom we've lost in this community over the last couple of years. And I can think of four or five people really that are no longer with us on a Sunday morning in our services as they were before the pandemic took hold in March 2020. And we need to remember them always and keep them close to our hearts. And then there are those who perhaps have become disconnected from the church over this time. We need to pray that God will bring them home again to this place of worship, and that when they come, they will feel truly welcomed by us who are here. So there's the exiles. Then there's point three, the newcomers. There were people who returned to the promised land during the time of Zerubbabel, who could actually remember how things were before they were sent into exile. But many, many years had gone past, and they were sad to see the land in the state that it was in. And then even after the temple had been rebuilt during the time of Zerubbabel, they just said, it's not like it used to be. But there were also newcomers who didn't know what the land used to be like before the exile. And we will have newcomers that will come to this church, and they will not know what things were like in the church in the 1980s or the 1990s. We have to understand that new people coming into the church may have a totally different outlook to us. We might think of the parents in Toddler Train. We might think of the children in Toddler Train. We might think of anyone who comes here through the food bank, or we hope, you know, in time that people to come through Renew. How can we connect with those people? What kinds of church activities might we involve ourselves in so that we might also involve those people in our fellowship? Newcomers is something that I could talk about for a long time, but we were only having the conversation the other day actually when we were at Renew about the generation that came before me, the generation that many in the church are part of, the generation that would have had experience as a child and perhaps as a teenager of going to Sunday school and of church life. Some of you, in fact, quite a few people in this church have come back to church at a later point because you discovered that Christianity was not just about religious activity and turning up on a Sunday, but it was about a relationship with Jesus. And so we often use the line, which is an accurate line, of Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But for some people, Christianity has never really been either a relationship or a religion, because they didn't have that religious experience of coming to church and doing the activity of church as a young child, which they then disconnected from. And so when we think of newcomers, we might think of people whose idea of spirituality is much more based around New Age or certain types of meditations or exercises that are good for people's well-being that actually fill the space where Christianity used to be the only known way. So we need to think about how we as Christians interact with those people. It's good to first think about this topic of well-being at this time, because what were the well-being practices from our own Christian faith that kept us going during the pandemic? All those things that we can share with others, such as a rhythm of prayer or scripture reading. That means something to us. We need to recognise that all of these groups of people are important within the future of the church. Nehemiah does that as he starts slowly to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and then to rebuild the city itself. And so he remembers all of the people, the musicians, the gatekeepers, the temple servants, the priests, those who went into exile but never came back, the newcomers who are a new generation who were far too young to remember what things used to be like. And it's good to remember that all of those people are part of our community. They're part of it now, and we hope and pray that they'll be part of this community in the future. How might we apply these things then to our lives today? Well, firstly, we do want to ensure that we recognise and give thanks for each other as people and for the gifts we bring to this fellowship. Secondly, we need to remember those who've gone before us, those who have led us in the way of Jesus but are no longer with us. Thirdly, we need to think about how we can reconnect with people who've disconnected from church. And fourthly, how we can connect with newcomers. So in all of those things, we pray that God will show us how to build a new community within these walls, which opens the gate to go out of these walls and into the world to be a shining light for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you this morning that you are building a people for yourself. Lord, it isn't about a building, it isn't about a religion, it's about a relationship with you and a relationship with one another. We pray, Lord, that you would help us in this rebuilding period where we're slowly coming back to a state where we have the freedom really to adapt and to move forward. We pray that as we do that, you would guide us and help us to be thankful both for you and for each one of us that's part of this church and each person that's part of our local community here in Hawkhurst. We just lift our prayers to you now. We pray that you would equip us for the future in Jesus' name. Amen.